This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Alhamdulillah, it's my pleasure to be here and I'm given an auspicious task to frighten all of you to death insha'Allah, so forgive me. Every single moment of our life, every single moment of every human being's life, we are heading in one of two directions. No matter what we're doing with our life, at whatever moment it may be, we're going either one of two directions. Either we are heading towards the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, our Creator, which we know the pleasure of Allah leads to Jannah, or we are heading towards the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, and we know the displeasure of Allah azza wa jal leads us to Jahannam. And that's something that many of us, including myself, fail to reflect on at any point in our day. Which direction am I going right now? Are the actions that I am doing taking me towards Jannah, or are the actions that I am doing taking me towards Jahannam? All human beings fail to take this reflection every single day. But this is the reality. And unfortunately, the reality for the majority of the world is that they are heading in the wrong direction, including many of us. At any point in our lives, we are heading in the wrong direction, towards Jahannam. And if realistically, if we remembered this final destination of Jahannam, it should frighten us enough to push us back towards the right direction. Because we know that some of us, and many of us, are directed by fear. Fear is a very motivating factor. When you are afraid of something, it causes you to act in ways that you would not normally act. People who have fear do things that they would never contemplate that they had the possibility to do. All of you know that if you are being chased by a pit bull through the streets of London, you will probably run a lot faster than you have ever ran in your life due to that fear. And that fear sometimes will motivate us a lot quicker than the hope for some reward. But we know the proper position is بين الخوف والرجاء, that we are between hope and fear. But today I want to kind of push us back towards the fear area, inshallah, by just giving you a short reminder of the punishment that Allah Azza wa Jal has for those who disbelieve in Him, for those who disobey Him, and for those who live a life that is in disagreement with what He has revealed and given to us through the Book of Allah and through the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when hell is referred to in the Quran and through the Sunnah, there are a variety of names that has been given to the final destination of those whom Allah Azza wa Jal is displeased with. And just a few of them, we know Allah Azza wa Jal calls hell Jahim in the Quran because of the intensity of its blazing fire. Allah also calls the Quran Jahannam because of the depth of the pits of hell. He calls it Jahannam. We know that Allah Azza wa Jal also refers to the hellfire as Sa'ir because it is kindled and ignited. Because Allah has kindled and ignited His fire for the people who are He is displeased with and disbelieve in Him. Allah also calls it Saqar, which means the intensity, the severity of its heat. And Allah also refers to in the Quran as Hatama. Hatama meaning that whatever goes into it is crushed and broken into pieces. And this is just a small number of the descriptions or the names that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to those who will enter into the blazing fire. I just want to shortly describe to you, and because of the fact of the brevity of time, I'm not going to give you verse and narration and a hadith and book number and reference point and all of these things. But inshallah ta'ala, these are all coming from authentic sources. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described in a number of hadith what the end is for those who are destined to go to the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when death reaches any of us, one of two ways that death is going to come. For those who Allah Azza wa Jalla is displeased with, who have led an immoral life, who have disbelieved in Him, who have worshipped other than Him, it is not a pretty scene whatsoever. And we all should ask Allah Azza wa Jalla every day to protect us from this end. As we heard Shaykh Asim say that the final ending of our life is what is really going to matter. And for those who Allah Azza wa Jalla is displeased with, He said, when the angel of death comes to them, He comes descending with many angels. And the angel of death comes in the most horrible look and the most wicked of fashions. Very scary. And the angel descends carrying with him a shroud from Jahannam that is made of fibers of hair that is so harsh that it is designed to torture the body. And that shroud is smelling and stinking of smoke. And the angel will sit at the head of the person. And everyone around them will be looking with miserable faces. And no one will see this except for the person. And the angel will sit at the head of that individual and say to it, "Oh, you wicked soul, come out to the displeasure of Allah and His anger and His wrath." And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said the fear that that soul has, it starts to run around in the body. It starts to trying to find a way to escape coming out. And so the angel has to reach in and yank that soul out. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described that yanking of the soul out as if someone takes a thorny branch and puts it into a ball of wool that is wet and then extracts it. We know that that thorny branch would tear and rip the pieces of wool that comes out. He said, this is how the soul of those who Allah is displeased with comes out. It tears and rips the veins. And it is so painful that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the pain of that death will still be visible upon that person on the day of resurrection. That they will still be visibly in pain from the death of the ripping out of that soul on the day of judgment. And when that soul falls out, the angels step back. No one wants to touch it. No one wants to put their hands on it because it is foul and stinking. And so the angel of death itself will take it and wrap it in that filthy shroud from Jahannam. And then the angel will begin to ascend. As we know, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنْ عَلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Every soul came from Allah, and to Allah it must return. So when the angel proceeds to the heavens, the angel asks for permission to enter and to take the soul to Allah Azza wa Jal. And no response comes from the angel, except there is a voice heard from atop the heavens, from the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah responds to that request and says, "Send it back. Send it back, despised and rejected, to the day of judgment." And so that soul is thrown back into the grave. Thrust back into the grave, despised and rejected. And then we know, as Shaykh Asim told us, the angels will come, Munkar wa Nakir, and will ask it the questions. "Man Rabbuk?" Who is your Lord? And that soul will say, even for some of us who did not live a life that was in congruity with that which we speak, maybe is that Allah will not give us that steadfastness to answer these questions. So they will respond, I don't know. I don't remember. I can't think. There is no time for you to figure it out. The angel will hit that soul and turn it into dust. وَمَا دِينُكَ What was your religion? I don't know. And again it will be smashed. وَمَن نَبِيُكَ And who was your prophet? I don't know. And it will be smashed again. And then those angels will leave it. And then someone will come and sit next to that person. And that person will look so evil, so wicked, that the soul will say, the person will say, Who are you? You, I've never seen is anything as wicked as you. Who in the world are you? And that person will reply, I am your wickedness. I am your wickedness. I'm your disbelief. I am your evil deeds. And I am here to keep you company until the day you meet your Rabb. Reminding them every single moment of why you're here. Why you have went through all of these trials are because of me. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that every one of you who dies, they will be shown in the morning and in the evening their place in Akhirah. If they are the people of Jannah, they will be shown the place of the people of Jannah and will be reminded, this is your position. Abshir, this is your position. But if they are the people of Jahannam, they will be shown the people of Jahannam where they will rest. And they will be told, this is your resting place. There is no good news for you today, nor will there ever be any good news for you. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, and if you could see, Allah says, if you could see, O Muhammad, when the souls come to take, when the angels come to take the souls of those who disbelieve, they smack them on their faces, they hit them on their backs, and tell them, ذُوقُ الْعَذَابُ الْحَرِيقُ Taste the punishment of the blazing fire. This is because what your hands have sinned forward before you. And Allah is never unjust to any of His slaves. This is what awaits those whom Allah is displeased with. وَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ May Allah protect us from this and we seek refuge in Allah from this. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a very beautiful hadith, when Allah Azza wa Jal created Jannah, when Nar, Allah told Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, go see that which I have created. And when Jibreel alayhi salam went to see Jannah and all of its pleasures, he said, by Allah, I swear by you, I don't think anybody who hears about this place will fail to enter it. And then when he went to see Nar and all of the punishments that are there, he came back and he said, Ya Allah, I don't think that anyone who hears of this will go near it. And then Allah Azza wa Jal surrounded Jannah by hardships, by tribulations, by tests. And He said, go see it now. And when Angel Jibreel saw it, he said, by Allah, I don't think anyone will make it. I don't think anybody can make it. And when Allah Azza wa Jal took Nar, He surrounded it by temptations and pleasures and laziness. And when Jibreel alayhi salam saw it, he said, Ya Allah, I don't think anyone is going to escape from this. I don't think anybody will escape from this. Because going to hellfire is easy. You don't really have to do anything. It's a very easy road to go to Jahannam. Just do whatever you want to do. And this is what they tell you in life. Do what you wish. Life is like a box of chocolates. Just eat and eat and eat. But we all know, and you all should know, you shouldn't need a reminder of what Jahannam is like. That going down that easy road is not always going to be an easy destination. Because you might have the ease in this life. It might be easy to sleep over during Fajr. That might be the easy thing to do. It might be easy to give in to our temptations. It might be easy to keep staring at that sister when you know you shouldn't. It might be easy to talk about this brother when everyone is talking about them. It might be easy to disobey Allah. But we know that that ease is going to turn into eternal hardship. And there is no transaction that is worth that. Also, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked by someone, what will take me to hell? What will take me to hell? And Ibn Taymiyyah wrote, he listed off a number of things, and I'm going to go through them quickly for time's sake. But what I want you to think about is how many of them am I guilty of? How many of these things that I know lead to hell am I guilty of? And at that point in my life, and maybe still today, I'm walking a path that ends in this death. That ends in that angel of death meeting me in a horrible fashion, dragging my soul out, tossing it into the grave, being smashed, being shown Jahannam. How many times in my life have I stepped in that direction? He said, what leads to hell is associating a partner with Allah. Shirk. Disbelieving in the messengers. Kufr. Being ungrateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Hasad. Having malicious envy towards my brother or sister. Lying. Treachery. Dhulam. Oppression. Wrongdoing. Promiscuity. Backbiting. Backbiting. Backstabbing. Cutting off the ties of kinship. Cowardice. Miserliness. Withholding that which Allah has blessed me with for giving it in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inconsistency between what is in your heart and the face that you show to people. Nifaq. Feeling secure against the plans of Allah in your life. Despairing of the mercy of Allah will take you to Jahannam. Panicking blindly at the time of crisis. And doing things that are unbecoming of a believer. Pride and extravagance in the time when Allah has given you plenty. Transgressing the limits of Allah. Fearing a created being more than you fear the Creator. Riya, showing off. Going against the Quran and Sunnah in word and in action. Obeying a created being in disobedience to the Creator. Supporting falsehood with your tongue or with your hands. Laughing or mocking at the signs of Allah. Rejecting the truth when it comes to you. Withholding knowledge or testimony when it should be given. Sihr or magic, witchcraft. A'udhu billah, how much of this ummah is involved in this sin? Disobeying your parents. Killing someone unjustly. Consuming the wealth of orphans. Riba. Desertion from the battlefield. And slandering innocent chaste women. He said these are things that will lead you to hell. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, and one thing I love about Abu Huraira is he had the attitude of a believer when it came to doing good. What I mean is that he radiallahu an, a lot of times he wanted to find the easy way to please Allah. He wanted to find the easy way to please Allah. And this is the quality of a believer. We don't look for hardship. The believer does not look for a life of hardship. How many of you here want to be, you want to suffer in your life? Anyone? No one wants to suffer. We ask Allah, رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We ask Allah for the good of this life. So Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he asked the Prophet two questions. He said, number one, what will take me to Jannah fastest? What is the quickest path to go to paradise? I want to take that road. The Prophet ﷺ said, taqwa wa husnul khuluq. Have fear of Allah and good manners. Simply, have fear of Allah and good manners. He said, okay, what will take me to Jahannam the fastest? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, what will take you to Jahannam the fastest? The quickest is what lies between the two lips and what lies between the two legs. These will take you to Jahannam the quickest. For those who go to Jahannam, this is something that is not for a period of time except for those who have actual belief in Allah. Maybe they will be punished for a period of time, whatever Allah wishes. But for those who Allah has destined that your place of punishment forever is Jahannam, then for those people they should know that that punishment never comes to an end. That punishment never comes to an end. It has no end and it is never lightened for the person. There is never a day where you get some relief. Okay, today we'll make your fire a little bit less hot. We'll make your drink of boiling water a little bit cooler. We'll make your eating of the thorny branches, we'll make them a little bit less thorny today. It is never lightened. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that when all the people are going to go to Jannah, go to Jannah. And when all the people who are going to be in Nar are in Nar, that Allah Azza wa Jal will call between them a horned ram. And He will ask the people of Jannah, do you know what this is? They'll say, yes, we know this. This is death. The people of Jahannam will be asked, do you know what this is? They will say, yes, we know this is death. And then Allah Azza wa Jal would order that ram to be slaughtered. And then a call will come that death is no more. People of Jannah, there is no more death for you. Endless enjoyment. And people of Jannah, there is no more death for you. Punishment is endless. And their sorrow on that day. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the people of Jahannam, their sorrow will be so much that their tears will flow until it cuts grooves in their faces. And he said, the grooves in their faces from their tears will be so deep that if you put a boat or a ship inside of it, it would float. This is the despair that waits for the people of Jahannam. And that despair has no end. That despair is so much that when the angels ask, or when the people of Jahannam ask the angels, the guardians, please just help us. Just help us a little bit. The person will say, the angel will say to them, did not a messenger come to you? And they will say, yes. Then the angel will tell them, then you are where you deserve to be. And when the people will ask Allah, ya, oh Allah, please help us. Just destroy us. Kill us. Do something. Allah will say, you had your chance. Do not speak to me anymore. Allah will tell them, do not speak to me anymore. And He will cut off their voices from being heard by anybody. And the angels will be reminding them every day, scream as much as you like. Nobody can hear you. No one will ever hear you. Cry as much as you want. No one will see your tears. Suffer as much as you like. It's never going to get any easier than this. Subhanallah. How many people, and this is what I want to end with realistically. How many people do you know that this is waiting for them? I want everyone in here to raise their hand if you know one person that if they die right now, this is waiting for them. Raise your hand if you know one person, if they die right now, this is waiting for them. And if all of you don't raise your hand, you're only fooling yourself. Because every single one of you know someone who disbelieves in Allah. Every single one of you know someone who rejects Allah, or who rejects the messengers of Allah, or who is committing shirk, or who is committing dhulm. All of you know someone that if they die today, this is waiting for them. But I want you to ask yourself, how many of you have ever warned that person? How many of you have ever taken 1 second of your day to tell that person, this is what is waiting for you if you die right now. And I can't even sugarcoat that for you. If you die today, yes, this is waiting for you. There is no difference of opinion or aqeedah about this. If you don't believe in Allah, this is where you're going to go. If you disobey Allah, this is what waits for you. If you reject what I am telling you right now, I guarantee you, from the mouth of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from Allah's word himself, this is waiting for you. How many of you have done that? How many of you have taken one moment to tell your neighbor, this is what is waiting for them? How many of you have taken one moment to tell your co-worker, this is what is waiting for them? Maybe your family, your relative, have you even tried to tell them? If you reject this, I hate to tell you that this is what is going to come to you, and I don't want to see this for you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was someone who was really concerned about this. He was really concerned that he did not want anyone to end like this. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'm like someone who is standing on the edge of the fire. Standing on the edge of the fire, trying to warn you not to go into it. Holding you by the back of your garment, telling you, no, don't go there. He said, but unfortunately, too many of you are adamant about jumping into it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once sitting with his companions around a fire, and there was a child who was playing around that fire, and when the fire would flare up a little bit, the mother would grab the child and pull it back, because this is the love that a mother has for their child. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to cry, and when the companions asked him, why are you crying, he says, do you not see how much this mother loves her child? They said, yes. He said, know that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves every single one of His creation more than that this mother loves her child, but so many of them are just adamant about diving into this fire. Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent His messengers, succeeding one after another, beginning with Nuh alayhi salam, ending with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, he was sent as Khatab al-Nabiyyin, the seal of all prophets and messengers. That means there's no more going to come. He said, I am the end of this line of messengership. But there is something very prestigious and pristine about the last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is something very beautiful about that fact. And I want to remind all of you about this. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gathered all of the Muslims together, and during his farewell pilgrimage, during his last Hajj, he had approximately 140,000 of his companions in front of him. And he delivered the most famous speech, and it is actually the most authentic narration we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave this ummah the farewell sermon. And at the end of this sermon, he said something so beautiful, and I'm reminding you for this fact. He said to everyone gathered in front of him, those who are with me today, convey this message. Convey this message to those that are not here. For verily it may be that the one who is conveyed the message to may understand it better than the one who is conveying the message. I don't think we as Muslims realize what happened on that day. On that day, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took something and gave it to this ummah. For 23 years of his life, he held a torch. And that torch is the torch of Nabuwah, the prophethood and messengership. And that torch had never been trusted to anyone except the prophets and messengers chosen by Allah. Jibril alayhi salam handed it from messenger to messenger to messenger. But with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, There is no more messengers to pass that torch to. But that torch of conveying La ilaha illallah to the world had to go somewhere. It had to be somewhere to the Day of Judgment. So on that day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took that torch and he handed it to this ummah. He took that torch and gave it to this ummah and said, convey the message to those that are not here. Reiterating what Allah had already revealed. Udu'u ila sabil rabbika bil hikmah. And on that day, we were given the greatest izzah that had ever been given to any other ummah. We had been given the greatest honor that had ever been given to any ummah was given to us on that day. And when the Prophet ﷺ made that statement, conveyed the message, he raised his fingers to the heavens and he said, O Allah, bear witness. O Allah, bear witness. O Allah, bear witness. I have indeed conveyed your message to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal chose this day, this moment in time to say something that he had never said. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. This day I have completed my religion for you. This day, upon this statement, I completed my religion for you and have perfected my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your deen. Do we comprehend that sometimes? That it became our job on that day to convey this message to humanity. It became our job on that day to prevent people from going to Jahannam. If we don't feel that we have a responsibility to human beings to prevent them from going to Jahannam, wallahi, we are not following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam does not consist of just pulling your pants up high. It doesn't just consist of letting the lihya grow. It doesn't consist of just brushing your teeth with a toothstick, a miswak. It doesn't consist of just sleeping on your right side. Wallahi, the greatest of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was, as Allah said, وَدَعِيًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسَرَاجٍ مُنِيرًا, was that he was a caller to Allah by Allah's permission and a lamp giving beautiful light. That he was رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a mercy to humanity, because he cared about human beings. He cared about their souls. He cared about whether they went to Jannah or Nar. Do we care anymore? Or are we too concerned with our own ideological idea of I want to please me? I want to make me happy. I want to protect my little bubble. I don't care what they do. Let them do it. They're ignorant anyway. They deserve whatever they get. Wallahi, they deserve Jannah just as much as you deserve it. They just don't know it yet. Now, when someone asks us about Islam, do our tongues get tied? Or do we open up and tell them that yes, Islam is the truth. It is the only way of life ever revealed for humanity. If you follow it, you will receive goodness in this life, goodness in the next. If you disobey it, if you disbelieve in it, you will face hardship in this life and in the next. Do we have that is inside of ourselves anymore? Do we care about our neighbor's soul? Do we care about our co-worker's soul? Do we remind them of Jahannam? And first and foremost, do we remind ourselves that this is waiting not only for the disbelievers, but it is waiting for anyone who lives a life in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, no matter what comes out of their mouth. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from this ending, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability to have the izzah within inside of ourselves to convey this message clearly to humanity in a way that is befitting and deserving of the message. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. جزاكم خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.